Roll the tape.
This podcast is protected by copyright and not for broadcast. See rsn.net.au for more details.
Here's Warren Huntley and Dean Lester.
Good morning, Dino, and I'll be joined by David Gately shortly. Looking back on what was primarily an off-season meeting at Moonee Valley, but there certainly were some highlights, no more so than the emotional victory of you've been had with young Riley Enright fighting his battles at the moment. It was terrific to see Ben Malham and Lisa Enright combining there. A filly that might be destined for more than the off-season is Multaja, coming through what promised to be an exciting race at Moonee Valley, and she dominated it. It was a good day in general for Godolphin, 5 winners across the board in Melbourne and Sydney, but Kemantari going down narrowly in the Missile Stakes to Parada. James McDonald and Glyn Schofield incurring suspensions. There's a big day for Brent Stanley. He had winners at Wangaratta, Melbourne, and he took on the might of Chris Waller in Sydney and was able to have victory there. And Dino, it's also Grand National Hurdle Day and Chris Steeple Day at Sandown. So there's plenty happening in the world of racing this weekend.
There certainly is, Warren. Good morning to you. It was it was a good day yesterday with the excitement of the Missile Stakes. And I think one in particular, I think, very good horse at Moonee Valley and and a really good support cast as well.
Dino's picked out a highlight, one standout from Moonee Valley yesterday. David Gately, how was your day?
The good horses were in Sydney. I mean, we were sort of benchmark 70, 78-ville. The fillies race was a cracker, and it lived up to it ratings-wise early doors. But plenty of good horses in Sydney on the eve of spring, which is great.
Last preparation, Kemantari had slightly the better of Parada in their clashes going into a break. They returned as four-year-olds. They were billed as two of the headline acts in the Missile Stakes.
300 out, the Monstar's got a good kick with Parada giving chase, going to second in front of Music Magnate. Kemantari's out now. He's starting to power home. Parada goes after the Monstar, two lengths away to Kemantari. It's Parada in front. Kemantari a half away. Parada in front. Kemantari drives, misses, and Parada has been able to flip the result on Kemantari today. Pirata from Kemantari. Both have gone great. The Monstar kicking on for third in front of Lanciato.
A familiar sight for many years, those red and yellow diagonal stripes for the Greg Hickman stable, and generally with a very good horse in the stable. And the highlight horse at the moment is Pirata, and Greg joins us this morning. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning.
He is a very good horse. He's building a great record now. He's been to the races 11 times for 5 victories and 4 minor placings. How were you feeling going into yesterday?
Yeah, slightly confident behind the scenes, but you never know what happens when you step up in age group and the other horses, and as a barrier. And this is always some sort of look at the negative, but the horse had done well. The same as what he did when he was at the Gold Coast, and
your reception's pretty poor quality there, Greg. I just don't know if it's the area you're in or whether we might have to call you back and try and get you on another line. Can you just see if it was just the connection? Can we just see if your voice is clearer now? That sounds better.
Okay.
Thank you. From a physical point of view, it's a big transition to go from competing against your own age and coming back at the level that you were at yesterday. What had you seen from Parada during his break from his visit to Queensland?
Look, he has matured slightly, but there's still a lot more improvement in him. Just little things that you used to see with him and he's overcome, and I did think they were growth spurts and that sort of thing, and he's just matured and he'll just keep doing it.
When you met Kemantari in the autumn, Greg, you were coming off a fairly short break from the Magic Millions. Did you think that with the longer break that you could sort of even up things as you did yesterday?
Well, the thing about it, he probably had his grand final before we met Kemantari. Yeah. And we pressured him up, and I was sort of probably a little bit afterthought. The main goal was to try and get that money at the Magic Millions, and he did. Pressure him up and have a go at that. This time they could both come back at similar sort of preparations, and we were lucky enough to get the better role of the race.
I was a long way from Sydney, but some good judges in the yard there on Sky Channel thought Pirata looked very forward, Greg, certainly relative to a couple of key rivals, but you're saying there's plenty left in the tank?
Oh, 100%. Why he looks very forward is because he's still in the jaw. I mean, he's half the size of Kamatari, and he just keeps on improving. I mean, growing and improving in status all the time. So he'll get there eventually.
He's a valuable horse regardless, but obviously, you know, victories at Group 1 level down the track would be important for his future value. But there's that carrot of the Everest that seems to dominate conversation. Has anyone been tapping you on the shoulder subsequent to yesterday, or have there been anything going on leading into yesterday?
There's been some quiet talks with the ATC, and no, the phone hasn't really been alight since then. But, yeah, I mean, if it happens, it happens, and we'll work it out from there. But, yeah, no, it's a nice car, isn't it? $13 million.
Looking ahead to the future for him, we believe Kemantari may be headed down to Victoria for his next start, perhaps in the Memsy. What have you got in line for Parata?
Look, we haven't sort of mapped out anything, just because we don't know which way we're going. But all I know is the car will be full of petrol, and our options will be kept open, and he'll be nominated for everything. And if that happens, we have to go to Melbourne for a Group 1, where we'll be going.
In his most recent preparation that took him to Queensland for the Magic Millions and then back for those matches with Kemantari, Corey Brown had a good association with him, not as familiar with the landscape for jocks up there. I see Corey hasn't ridden for just under a month or so. What's the situation with the rider going forward?
Yeah, no, we'll put that on the back burner a bit and see what happens, who's going where and where we're actually going and who wants to go where, but can't knock James's ride and you can't knock what Corey's done, so it is a headache.
I don't think you'll struggle to find a good rider, and I'm sure we look forward to seeing him if it does end up being in Melbourne, but wherever it is, Greg, what we saw yesterday watching it from Moonee Valley was a reminder of what great racing's about, and we could tell that the good horses were back in Sydney. It was a thrilling contest and you're able to prevail. Well done.
Thank you very much.
It's a terrific race, Dino, wasn't it? And as Gator said, we were in 78'sville, primarily restricted racing at Moonee Valley, but competitive racing. But you knew we had the serious horses stepping out watching the missile.
Yeah, certainly it was an exciting race to watch and a good tactical battle. And I think he's an absolute beauty, Parada, as is Kemantari. And they were both tremendous in return, as was Lanciato. So I'm sure it's a significant race going forward, but Gator would know more than I about them.
He's keeping that to himself at the moment because he's no. I'm joking.
Was that a cue?
Stewart's report says that Kemantari was shortly after the start was crowded, and then Glenn Schofield copped a suspension for shifting out, trying to get takedown out of the way, which wouldn't be an easy task with a few hundred metres to go, and aboard Parada, James McDonald also incurred a suspension. So it was a very competitive race, Gator. What was your take on it? There's a direct question.
Wow, it's not a leading question at all. 0.3 out off the track record. Yes, it was a fast day, but isn't it great to have sectionals, you know, accurate sectionals straight away as they've got in Sydney? But Pierrata had, you know, the sweet run. He travelled well deep into the race. No doubt Kemantari was a touch unlucky. He just needed to be clear a fraction of a second earlier. But he scooted home 11.05, and Lanciato, if you don't mind, 11.03 home. They have scorched the turf. Good horses gap to fourth. And these fourth and fifth horses, they're not hacks. You know, Showtime, they're genuine Group 1 competitive horses. Plenty of talk post-race, social media from good judges saying it's not the Everest form. Well, there's only a small sample size, 1 year. And Red Zell's beaten Vega Magic and Brave Smash. I mean, I don't know. If these aren't the elite, they're not far off them because I don't know who the elite is.
Dean, it's not easy to make that transition from the taking on the three-year-olds and going to take on the older horses, but I think Gator's right. These horses, Parada and Kemantari in particular, out of yesterday, look like they're going to make that progression.
I would think so, and I sort of, in the corner of, I don't think, we pretty much know three-quarters of the Everest field, so these horses on the up coming in at the last minute, I don't think there's anything to fear for them. I think they're good talents, and they've obviously already shown their hand that they're in form.
And from a position in running point of view, you're probably, if you were mapping the race, you would have thought Parada perhaps had a slight tactical advantage at maybe the 400-metre mark over Kemantari yesterday. What are your thoughts on their overall racing styles?
Yeah, absolutely. And the point about Parada is that, and Greg, that's why I asked Greg Hickman the question, is that he was you know, primed for a Magic Millions, then came back and then challenged Kemantari. Now they're on a fairly level playing field. It'll be really interesting to see. You know, I'm not saying he'll beat him every time, but he's certainly, you know, he's right in the discussion as he was yesterday, and he got the money.
Did you have a firm opinion going in, Gator?
Look, I was pretty keen. Kemantari was the one to beat. It all came down to price, and he was pretty thin, given he'd be first up. He's got some grand finals ahead of him. I think he should have won the race, but only narrowly. But Lanciato, the secret's out now, unfortunately. He went around $19 yesterday, and everyone knows he's just a good horse.
Yeah, that Epsom price will just be trimming in as we get closer to it. The activity should have been done before yesterday. But you've always been a fan of the horse, and I think Mark Newnham's got a really good horse on his hands, and he's going to be really well suited when he gets a little bit further up in distance, Dean, isn't he?
Yes, he is. You mentioned yesterday you thought he was an Epsom-style horse, and that's probably exactly where he fits into the scheme of things. And he was a cracking return because it was at Wait for Age, and the sectional time show how well he did go.
He just wants a level playing field in those big mile races. I mean, he went to the Doncaster, you know, he's the widest runner. It was an inside track. He ran enormous, I thought. So I think he's right in the frame there.
Overall, that. Other highlights out of the Sydney meeting for you, Gator? I know you've got more of a handle on the Sydney form, and obviously we've got a big day at Moonee Valley to get through. But your overall take on Sydney and anything else we might be able to take out of the meeting? Because there could be other trainers with tanks full of petrol that head down here sometime soon.
What a great line. Avilius boasts a second to Cracksman at home, coming over here, trialled well and was explosive, won brilliantly, eased up on the line, ran home 32.6 at the end of the mile, his last 600, and 10.64, 10.95. Wowee. Stablemate soothing in the last one like an extremely good horse, and he was only about two or three lengths off their track record, so totally dominant. They're probably the three, including a couple out of the missile, right at the pointy end of runs of the day up there.
Anything else that took your eye in Sydney, Dean?
I really just concentrated on the missile. I've still got to do the replays of that meeting, but it was an exciting start to the spring with those horses doing what you wanted to see them do. I think we had eyes for three horses, and they've run first, second, fourth in that race. So going forward, that's what you wanted to see.
And just reading from the stewards' report also, the stewards had a look at Ty Anglin's action aboard the Monstar, and he struck his mount on 10 occasions prior to the 100-metre mark. The stewards could not be satisfied that the Monstar gained an advantage. That's almost a superfluous line, isn't it? Because they're never going to be confident that it gained an advantage. So ultimately it results in a fine, and it just shows that rule's still not probably in the state that it should be. It seems farcical that you can do that, and then the stewards look at it and say, okay, so we'll fine you, but we'll never lodge a protest regardless of the margin, because we can't be sure, Dean, that it gained an advantage.
It's right in the neighbourhood of nominating Ruckman at the boundary line throw-ins.
I think it might have been a cross-code conference in between seasons that was implemented.
The only thing missing out of the missile was a free kick to Selwood. I thought he was really unlucky.
Lower the knee.
One of the other highlights, and it did get broadcast on Sky Thoroughbred Central, was a gallop in between races one and two of Winx. So Chris Waller did get the opportunity to get her across town and give her a gallop on the course proper, and she looked awesome. She heads to the trials on Tuesday, as does Chautauqua, who's listed to trial on Tuesday. So the Sydney trials will certainly hold quite a bit of interest at Rosehill on Tuesday morning, Dean.
Well, they will. Just to see one pop out of the barriers would be good, and we'll see what he does. But it was good that Winx could get a gallop. It was a bit of a surprise that she could get the grass, but anyway, she did.
Yeah.
I think she can get whatever she wants.
Terrific day's racing in Sydney yesterday, obviously highlighted by the Missile Stakes. Three winners for James Cummings, and Kemantari going down narrowly in the feature.
This podcast is brought to you by rsn.net.au.
They run the turn. You've Been Had ambles up on the outside of Plateau Gold at the point of the corner. Then Petite Reward Saxophone trying to get into the clear. Then came Carlingford. You've Been Had goes for home with 100 metres to go. Puts up two lengths on a wall of them. Carlingford, Savage You, Saxophone and Overland all there. But You've Been Had bolts in. Two lengths, photo second. Carlingford or Saxophone, Savage You, Overland not far off those from Keep Courting Kalama, Plateau Gold.
Well, Gator, if it was 78'sville, as you've referenced it, then this has got to be the highlight of 78'sville, or of one of them, and a horse that's destined to go on to, I think, contest better races than that. And he'd been freshened up. He looked good yesterday. What did you take it?
I wasn't concentrating. Which horse?
You've Been Had was the horse that was able to win yesterday. An emotional victory for Lisa Enright with Ben Malam aboard. Was the fourth race on the card.
Fourth race? Wow, we're into race four already. Yeah, good horse. Building a great strike rate. And, look, I could see what Ben was thinking early. He sort of wanted to get a spot and then just gave up on that. Thought, I'm probably on the best horse. I'll just sit three wide. Wasn't a bad spot on the day, but still totally dominant. I mean, he's just better than the grade he was racing, and simple as that. They broke 58 for the 1,000, out 23.5. What it will do is add plenty of merit to the fillies race, which we'll touch on earlier. But, look, great story around this, great post-race interviews and, you know, strength to the young man.
Ryder Enright's the young fella. He's Lisa's brother, Maddie's son, and he's been recently diagnosed with leukaemia, Dean, and he's already undergone some bouts of chemo. So that's a very tough time for anyone, but for a young person like that, it really does draw on the heartstrings. And it was an emotional victory yesterday, and rightfully so.
Yes, indeed, and nothing like the power of racing to get around something like that, and also the horse doing his part of the deal and lifting spirits for everyone involved, and he did it in the easiest of fashions.
With Run for Ryder written on his rump.
Yes.
So there was well done by all concerned, but in terms of the performance of the horse, Gator summed it up as basically riding him as if he was the best horse, and that's certainly the way Ben handled him, because there wasn't an opportunity to probably come back, because by the time Deanie, he went back, it would have been time to go forward, so he was happy to just keep rolling.
Yeah, for a 1,000-metre race, it wasn't a high-pressure speed map other than Plateau Gold, Barrier One, so he was not going to be anywhere else but in front, and horses like Saxophone, Carlingford were there to get good spots, and if he went back, he was going to have to get around them at some stage, so he just rolled up, and as you said, ridden like the best horse. I thought it was a pretty clinical display, and that's what you know, he's building at 1,000 metres. Six goes at 1,000 metres, five wins and a luckless second. So no, he's a very capable horse in this grade, going through the grades and being exceptionally well placed.
The query runner in the race was probably the top weight Oberland, having its first run for quite a while for the Weir stable, and early markets had those horses dominating, and the fact that Oberland got out to double figures probably told you that he wasn't quite ready. What did you make of his run?
Yeah, underdone. Had a good look at him after the race, and he had a good puff after the race, and he'll just... He'd done a good amount of work, as in he wasn't carrying a lot of excess weight, but just the race day toughness and match practice that he needed, and I thought he did enough probably a couple of runs down the track.
Your thoughts on some of the others, Gator?
Yeah, well, the others, look, it had a long tail to it, the race and the day. Keep courting, there's no upside really, but blew the start, held up, finally clear inside the 100, hit the line, beaten 3.9, take the winner out of it, it's only a length and change off the second 78ville horse.
So he's tough on this meeting.
Oh, well, it's only the lack of quality. That's okay. The only reason. Okay. I mean, I'm not making things up.
Keep calling. Saw a Group 1 horse here yesterday. I don't know about you. But
what was its initials?
M.
Yeah, I think a few in that race will end up Group winners.
I thought that Carlingford ran well, and I just sometimes... stables can fly under the radar a little bit. Mick Sell's always been a terrific horseman, and his partner Mel, and they've done a terrific job with these horses, and I just think his stable is really performing to its absolute best, and that's all you can do is work with the horses you've got, get the best out of them, and Dean, I reckon Mick and Mel Sell are doing a terrific job with their team at the moment, multiple winners during the week, and Carlingford couldn't have gone any better, and Carlingford's a horse that ended up getting some pretty serious eye surgery, I think, from some of the dinner plates that got knocked into her when she raced at Seymour, so has done well to come out of that race and be nursed back to that type of form.
Yeah, they had a long odds winner early in the week on the Geelong Synthetic, and I'd say by the post-race interview they were very keen it'd win, so it's been probably a very good week for the stable, I'd imagine.
What sort of a path would you map out for You've Been Had, Dean? Where does he fit in?
I don't know. It's 78ville, so he might go to 84ville. At his next run, he's just got they've just done so well with him getting through the grades. Oh, I think he'll be a low grade, open grade horse, maybe listed horse, but 1,000 metres is his go, and we'll see where. Probably the calendar dictates that as much as anything.
Yeah, well, that's right. And look, there's plenty of 1,000 metre races out there, and what he will do as he goes up in grade is get some weight relief. Not only did he sit wide against this lot, but he had 60 kilos, so it gave him all weight. I mean, it was a different class hashtag sort of setup.
And it is, the we won't deny the benchmark of the race, do you know? It was a benchmark 78.
Mark Young
seems to have done, I suppose, saxophone, a former Godolphin galloper, and I thought he was going to be a horse, a real 1400, 1600 metre horse. But that's what trainers need to do, is identify strengths and weaknesses of horses, and it seems to be that saxophone seems to appreciate being kept to these shorter trips.
Seems that way. He's got a good racing style for the 1000 metres, and he's proven that twice at the Valley now and even down the straight. So, he can certainly keep earning good money in these sort of races.
The meeting kicked off with a race for the horses that have just turned three, and on debut was Big Energy from the Brent Stanley stable, who had runners right around Australia yesterday.
350 metres to go. Your Long Wayne, Divine Mr. Tycoon and Tadwin, a line of three. Bold Type almost makes that a line of four around the turn. Sanglier, Big Energy need runs, and All In Brawl right around the outside is going to loop them. At the 150, All In Brawl swept up on the outside, took the lead. Big Energy going with it. All In Brawl, Big Energy's kicking the inside. Big Energy has just won from All In Brawl. Photo third. Between Jimenez or Sanglier, then Divine Mr. Tycoon, Bold Type.
There's a few different form lines to put together here, Gator. And on debut, Mig Energy, who had trialled publicly on a couple of occasions, and I'm reading in the Herald Sun this morning that Brent Stanley had put up some jump outs on his website. So there's another area you can go to try and do your form. Look at every trainer's website and see if you can find some private jump outs. But, gee, he was very good, given that not everything went right for him.
What an age we live in. He did a good job, didn't he? He was sort of midfield, held up a touch. The gaps came in time, and he won okay. All In Brawl, he was coming off a reasonably high-rating win, sort of looped them and looked the winner, and they had a little bit of a gap on Jimenez, who was held up, only cleared the last 100, hit the line. So, look, they were good runs in their own right. The clock hasn't really backed them up, unfortunately, but the stack of upside.
Dean, what did you make of his trials going into his debut performance, Mig Energy?
Well, I hadn't looked at the website, unfortunately, but the ones I saw, I just thought he'd need further. The way this race sort of shaped up, you had horses like Yulong Wayne and Tadween riding the speed, and they were gone very early, and it was a bit of a jam up coming to the turn, and geez, he was travelling Mig Energy, and it was good perseverance from Luke Curry to stay in there, because
he needed his nerve and his horsemanship, didn't he?
He could have jumped across heels and then got into the wrong spot, but he just rode into that spot, and it was a really good piece of riding, I thought. And the overall wasn't great. The last he ran the second best last 200 of the meeting, so at least he did quicken down when required. All In Brawl had the momentum, and Jimenez ran very nicely, because he was another one that got jammed up when they started to stop in front of him. Of the ones well in the betting, Divine Mr. Tycoon was the one we'll improve off the run. He really had a good puff after the race and blew up over the back. He'll just derive benefit from the day at the races. I thought Sanglier was pretty trained up, whereas Divine Mr. Tycoon will improve.
At the turn into the home straight, you mentioned that it was getting a bit tight for Mig Energy and the horses tiring, and Sanglier was the horse nearer the inside behind them. Effectively, there was one gap, but you can mount a case to say Sanglier was a touch unlucky, but I think that Mig Energy was going better and accelerated through the gap, and in the end, Sanglier, although held up a fraction, was just okay to the line, I thought.
Yeah, just fair. I thought maybe off his recent jump out, he might have improved a bit off last time in, but I think he's probably just about that sort of level. He'll win one of these, and that's about him.
All In Brawl, a different style of performance from the on-speed maiden victory that we saw, but probably we're still learning these horses, and so are the trainers. So he certainly added a bit of versatility to his racing style in the way that he performed yesterday.
Yeah, and John Price was really interesting on Friday. I mean, you can take a lot from those interviews, and he said, I can't wait to get this horse to the paddock. And when he came into the mounting yard, just so I can see why, he's still all legs. He's going to mature out a lot. So what he's doing now is a bit of a raw talent, and he could physically really develop in the next 6 months.
What was your overall thought on the way the track played yesterday?
Look, I just think you didn't want to be right on the fence. And in saying that, it probably dried out through the day, because we had very strong winds, and you could see the track was drying as the day went on. You could see a little bit of sand kick back later in the day, but overall, that was the only place I don't think you really wanted to be. It was hard on the fence.
And that's the challenge for the track manager too, isn't it? I mean, you probably couldn't have put too much more moisture into the track, but when you get those high winds during the day, Gator, then that is going to dry out the track to some extent. And there was talk during the course of the day, Dino, and you and I were getting it, that there were parts of the track that were quite firm, etc. But you know, when you get winds like that, there's no denying the fact that the track is going to dry out.
Yeah, that's right. And look, from a, purely from a punting perspective, we would take I would take rail off any day of the week over a Savage inside track. You know, if I'm having a bet,
which leaders can still win off the rail.
Correct. Wait.
Yep.
So, in saying this, Dean, Divine, Mr. Tycoon can certainly improve out of the run. Sanglier was a little bit there, and you're pretty keen that Jimenez. And I think what we'd seen of him leading into it says that 1,000 metres was going to be a bit short for him, but he can certainly progress on through.
And just a big action horse, looked like a momentum horse, and when that sort of jam up coming to the turn probably didn't advantage him. But, yeah, all in all, inferior to the fillies that we'll talk about soon, but I think long-term All In Brawl's the one I'd take out of the race because physically he'll improve a lot.
Just haven't been able to get hold of Brent Stanley at this stage after his demolition of the Chris Waller team. He's probably fielding media calls from everywhere. But a good day for Brent. He had a winner at Wangaratta, a winner at Moonee Valley, and Red Alto was able to take on the might of Chris Waller and win in Sydney as well at Randwick. But Big Energy, still a bit of a raw talent, but able to win on debut and plenty to work with. And he's got some nice young horses. Was it the August that was a winner at Flemington as a two-year-old that looks to have good talent too? So he might be assembling a little bit of an army for the spring, and it'd be nice to be able to talk to Brent if we can get him during the morning.
And that looked a nice win, didn't it? Beat Good and Faster, came out and won a borderline stakes race.
Absolutely.
It was shaping well.
Yep.
Nantali was coming off a low-pressure victory at Flemington at her most recent victory. Damien Lane took the saddle for Kieran Maher and David Eustace, the first Metropolitan victory for the newly formed partnership.
Nantali, the outside four deep, coming into it steadily, only about a length off the lead now. Mar Jones trying to go with her. Spanahead needs a run from Crafty Devil. Then Hussey's Glow, Jackie's Joy around the turn at the 200. Nantali swept up and took the lead from Alaskan Sun. Mar Jones, miles of Christian back to the inside, but Nantali, 100 metres to go, kicks about a length and a quarter in front of Mar Jones, and Nantali, too good, a nice mare. Second Mar Jones, third Alaskan Sun, fourth Spanahead.
Well, she seemed to get every chance, Dean, and was able to squeeze into a lovely spot. How did you see it?
Yeah, just had the beautiful run. Just absolutely the ideal spot you wanted to be given the speed of this race. It was just an even speed, and she was just able to really dominate the race. Damien Lane was able to dictate when he wanted to go. He had clear air when he needed it, and she was the early season four-year-old mare, beating an eight-year-old, a few five-year-olds and six-year-olds. So she was the one that was, you know, if there was one with upside, Nantali certainly presented with that going in, and she effectively delivered.
And taking on some of the horses that she did take on that you've probably got a bit of a handle on, so that Mar Jones, et cetera, and those type of horses. So if she's still on the up and relatively lightly raced, then there's the opportunity for her to progress on. We're at benchmark 84 level. So she's got here pretty early in her preparation, really. She made good progression.
She has indeed. She has done a good job. And I think they just changed their racing style around. When she was first in work last preparation, she was right up on the speed. And I think just coming back that pair or two's allowed her to be stronger late in the race. And we've seen that at her last two.
You'll be previewing the Sandown meeting later on. But I think my glance at that meeting, Miss Pandanus, who had the better of Nantali, when they last clashed at Sale, and Nantali's won two Metropolitan races since. Is she one of the acceptors and still in the field for Sandown today?
She is. Spoiler alert, I'll be tipping her.
Okay. What are your take on this race, Gator?
The winner's has some upside, no doubt, and that's been referenced. The others have all reached their mark or have just gone beyond it. Alaskan Sun was very genuine. I sort of overthought the race and thought she was a good value chance, but she ran well.
She ran third. You collected, surely.
It was an honest effort, but the winner was superior. Sure, had the right run, but didn't need it. Was too good for him and can go on. The others probably can't.
Dynamics of the race, Dean. A horse like Hussey's Glow, who likes probably pretty solid tempo up front and run on. What did you make of her performance?
Yeah, probably. I sort of think they've got to be very technical to get her to run a strong mile. So I like her better back to 1,400. I think there's one that can be followed in the next few runs, might be two runs away, but Crafty Devil didn't look like a winner yesterday in the yard. Ran quite well. Yep. We know she can get 2,000 plus. I wouldn't be surprised if she wins a nice 2,000. You know, a race maybe like the Pinker Pinker at Cranbourne or something like that. She could win in the next couple of months.
Gator was thinking exactly the same.
I was thinking more a midweeker, but yeah, she can win soon. And I'm with you, Hussey's Glow's not a miler. You can leave me out.
Well, they run Friday night. the Pinker Pinker, so it's midweek.
Yeah.
Nothing in the stewards' report regarding either Hussey's Glow or Miles of Krishana. They were examined but failed to reveal any abnormality. That was race two, and we have got hold of Brent Stanley, who was able to take out the first and then take on the Might of Chris Waller in Sydney, as well as winning a race at Wangaratta. So as Brent joins us, we can say that was a good day for the stable yesterday.
Yeah, it definitely was, boys. Thank you very much for having me on.
Mick Energy, let's talk about your winner at Moonee Valley. Kicked off the day, and we'd seen the public trials and unfortunately hadn't trawled through the other forms of media to see the jump outs that you'd kindly posted. What was your expectation going into yesterday?
Yeah, the honest truth was I thought, you know, it'd be a touch too sharp for him. There was some good speed horses in it that come off running good times in their races. And then there was obviously the Godolphin horse that had been stakes placed and performed well, so I thought he'd have to be up to the mark, but everything had to go right, and he'd travel a lot better than I thought he would, and he's probably a bit better than I thought he was.
We were commenting before that Luke Curry needed all his nerve and his horsemanship to be able to get him home. What were your thoughts as the approach the home turn?
Yeah, it was one of those things. It was the run didn't come. It was going to be a sad story watching him go to the line Art Hill, but luckily it came at the right time because the second horse went around and with momentum and shot clear and probably made his win a little bit more impressive that he was able to pick it up like he did back on the inside of it.
Where do you go with him now, Brent? Obviously, terrific debut. Do you, distance rise would be in the offing for him in the future?
Yeah, he'll go up in distance. You know, obviously his first day, he raced with Coon. But what I liked about it, he did switch off when Luke sat his hands down on him. He did switch off and float, and he had to, every time he got travelling, he had to dig him up to do it. So he'll go up in distance. I just wanted to get through yesterday to see where you're going. I don't want to be too cocky and aim for some good races, but there's a couple of handy races coming up over the next few weeks.
You would have been lonely in the Manning Yard for your stable rep in Sydney. Just the soul taking on the army there. But in all seriousness, does that open the door for a few other trainers to go up there and have a crack? I mean, it's not a monopoly up there.
No, exactly. Well, I think that's a good thing, and I'm glad I did it, because people were saying, you're brave taking up there, you're going to hide nothing on, but that's probably done the world of good for every trainer that hasn't got a bucket load of horsing work to show the owners that you don't need to be the big one to still win a race.
I think Chris referenced it when he was talking to Matty Stewart yesterday, that you know, it's not like his stay has come down here and dominate our off-season staying races, so there may be an opportunity for the quality of stayers that we've got down here and your form lined up with Serenade the Stars to go up to Sydney and take on his, you know, effectively midweek to Saturday grade stayers, and you did that with success. So I suppose that what Chris was saying seemed to hold out quite well yesterday.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head, and I think Grey Line done it last week, so it's you know, we maybe just have the edge on the stays this time of year than what the Sydney horses do. And Chris Waller, with the number of horses and the quality of horse he's got, he's not going to have his best stays running in those kind of races. He's getting ready for the next few months coming ahead.
Summerfest was your other winner yesterday, and well supported at Wangaratta. How did you assess her performance?
Yeah, I thought she'd no further. Through the outside barrier, but that track was pretty choppy and horrible, so it ended up being the best spot. But no, she won good. Not sure what she beat, but she will improve a hell of a lot once she gets to 2,000 and beyond.
We were talking about a team you might be assembling during the spring prior to your joining us, and we referenced the victory of the August at Flemington, going back just a few weeks or a month or two now. What's the situation with the August?
Yeah, so he'll have a trial tomorrow at Cranbourne, as will Katsa Diva, and I've got another three odds this day in his first trial there. So they're all the smarter ones that I'm fingers crossed heading into the spring, but they've come back really good. He's a pretty smart horse. The August, the form around him's really strong. He's improved a hell of a lot. He's got the right attitude to go on to the next step.
Well done yesterday, Brent. Thanks for joining us this morning. Terrific effort to be able to head to Sydney and win. You've got an exciting debutante winner and a maiden winner at Wangaratta. That's doing a great job with the team that you saddled up yesterday.
Thanks very much, guys. Appreciate it.
Dino, geez, I'm surprised we don't see Bryce Stanaway load up to Sydney and send them around. He quite often runs horses, multiple runners in staying races. There might be an opportunity for Bryce late in the career of Crafty Cruiser and others to head to Sydney.
Yeah, well, it's about the only place Crafty hasn't been, so he'd probably enjoy that.
Thanks for Brent Stanley for being able to join us and looking back on his performances right around Australia yesterday.
Then Cavallini and Pippi on the outside on the improve from Moltaja and Causeway Girl. Crossing the Abbey and Fidelia's coming into it too. Up around the home corner on the point of the turn now. It's Belzella, La Pomda, Pin, Pippi and Moltaja the outside. Causeway Girl can't get a run from Fidelia at the 100. Moltaja moves up to Pippi and goes on by. Moltaja for Dwayne Dunn, a length, 2 lengths. Impressive Moltaja from Pippi Fidelia. Fourth Belzella.
Wow, that was the race that I think a lot of people were looking forward to. Six last start winners, different form lines, and three-year-old fillies with aspirations to head to better races. And Dwayne Dunn was aboard Moltaja, who put him to the sword. Good morning, Dwayne.
Good morning, Warren. How are you,
mate? I'm very well, and that was a very exciting meeting. We've already talked about the emotional victory of you've been had yesterday, but the win that got the racing juices flowing was the win of Moltaja. How did it feel to be aboard her?
Yeah, very good. Her times were outstanding, and you know, I did get a pretty good run in transit from the wide gate. Got on the back of the right horse, and yeah, she did the rest. But she's very exciting going forward, and yeah, you sort of had to believe what you've seen at Werribee, her first start. But she took nice improvement from that, and yeah, put them to the sword.
Looks to have good race sense too, because as you said, began okay, but had to go back from that wide barrier, and then had the race smarts to be able to just go wherever you pointed her. What sort of a feel did she give you that way in terms of her race smarts?
Yeah, she's really mature beyond her age. She, you know, it's like she'd been there 100 times before, and yeah, when you want to steady her, she just comes back underneath you, and you ask her for an effort, she just quickens. So she doesn't have to learn much more. She's just got to maintain what she's doing now, and they're going to have a lot of fun with her for sure.
Dwayne, just trying to work out, you know, where she fits in and what races you know, she would be aimed at, and distance-wise, and I don't think class is an issue. Where do you think she fits in with that regard?
Yeah, at this point in time, she gives me the feel of sort of a Group 3 filly at the moment, and where she goes from there. I was sort of asking about 1,000 guineas and things like that, but I think that's a little bit too early to make a decision on how far she's going to run. She runs so fast over this trip that 1,000 guineas getting to a mile is a long way away. But, yeah, she's got very good race sense, and her attitude's fantastic. So there's no doubt that she can take good steps forward. Probably the next race will tell us what direction and how far she'll go after that.
What was the expectation going into the race from the stable, Dwayne? Obviously, you look over in the Manning Yard and every second horse had scorched the clock. Filly had scorched the clock going in, including this girl herself, you know, 6 lengths quicker than average home on debut. So what was the stable thinking relative to the field?
They were really happy with the way she stepped up. They said every time they raise the bar, she just steps up to it. Reg was of the opinion she did look a little bit woolly, so she's got some nice improvement to come there. So that they were, the speed maps and all that were concerned that there was such high-speed pressure in the first half of the race. We'd probably have to be a little bit conservative and be strong late. You know, she can rip off some really fast sectionals. And, if the barrier beats us well and good, but probably the way that track played yesterday, without knowing it at that stage, that early, it really did play into our hands to be able to swoop and get out a bit wider.
What were your overall thoughts on the way the track did play? You went round a number of times yesterday.
Yeah, it's it looked slightly inferior on rail, but I didn't expect it to be as brutal as what it was with those horses on speed near rail. I thought they might hold in there a little bit longer, but it just progressed through the day that you needed to be 1, 2, 3 wide, building momentum. It just seemed to be a fraction drier there. The inside's probably got longer grass on it and it's probably healed a bit better than a little bit wider on the track where it probably hasn't healed as well, so it's a little bit more sandy and it's drying out a little bit quicker. So it's unusual. We're getting it, you know, a good 3 at this time of the year, especially at the Valley. It's usually helpful for horses that do have a few issues and they like a little bit of sting out of the ground, but yesterday that track did play quite firm.
And your two victories came in different styles, from a wider barrier draw in a short course race aboard Moltaja, and then the inside draw from Call Me Handsome. And as you said, that became even more of a disadvantage later in the day. So take us through the way you're able to manage to get Call Me Handsome into the winner's stall from the inside.
Yeah, I was concerned with him from barrier one. The inside wasn't playing the way we wanted, as I said. But the leader, Mahoney, with Regan Bayliss, he stayed away from rail, so that left me an option to get away from that inside section, and then once we glided through the bend, I was able to get to his outside, and you would see that the horse at Darren Williams that Ben Allen was on looked like it was going to just charge up inside and make a contest of it. It did for a while, but then it couldn't finish the race off. So I think that probably proved how detrimental that inside section was. But Courtney Hanson, he had a bit of a think about it when he got to the front. And, you know, it's good to see him win. He hasn't had a lot of luck. He's one of them horses is not easy to ride. He's probably just got travelling a little bit too keen with Chris in his couple of runs leading into this event, which has put him into a vulnerable situation where he had to pop out before he really wanted to. But the Galagotis boys are doing a good job. Obviously, their new set-up at Caulfield, and, yeah, it was good to see him get the job done. And David Hall from Hong Kong still got a little interest in it. So, yeah, it was good for everyone.
Good connections there. And just touching on a couple of others that that seem to run well during the day, get your take on their performances. iBoogie, who's eligible for easier races, and he's one horse that had probably loved there to be some rain around. He was able to run fourth behind Morton's Fork. What did you make of his run?
Yeah, I think he, if the rain was there and it was wet enough, I thought he gave me a good enough feel that he could have been very close in a race like that. I don't think it sort of suits him. When that rush came quick, he didn't really handle a home bend that well, and he actually, you know, speedy cut a bit. When I got back off him, he'd opened a couple of lacerations in his hind legs. He just didn't handle that pressure on the corner, but I think Russell and Scott Cameron have got him going really well. He deserves to win a race. He's pretty adaptable now, so, you know, if he gets the right weather conditions for him, I'm sure he'll be winning sooner rather than later.
And you picked up the ride on Toosby in the last. What did you make of his performance? He another one that looked to be flashing home well.
Yeah, he finished off well. Unfortunately, I didn't have enough time to do any real homework. I didn't pick you up late. They took the earmuffs off him. He began well. They went a bit of a rush early, but then they steadied, and they probably didn't go as quick as what I was anticipating. He did over-race a little bit with me mid-race. He needed to get clean air. Once I got him to the outside, then he, as you mentioned, he did finish off really well. Maybe he can step up to a bit longer, get towards the 1,300, 1,400 metres, his horse. And once again, if he gets the right track conditions, I think he wants a wet track, and he should be winning very shortly as well.
Jumps Racing's the feature at Sandown today, but you've got four rides. Is there one or two of them that you're most looking forward to riding today?
Yeah, there's Bella Luciani ran well the other day. It's good to see her perform better than what she had. She'd probably let us down a bit. She'll be there for a long way, I reckon. This the race too is an interesting race. It's, you know, only the four runners, but they all seem to run really well. They're exciting. The Busselton horse I'm on, I trialled it before it went up to Echuca, and by Tavistock, going to be a really nice horse in the future. And the interesting one for the day for me is Kentucky Diva down from Sydney. I haven't seen her, but very closely related to Maccabi Diva and that, and she's out to a trip. She's an older mare now, but Team Hawk's down here with the winkers on, so looking forward to getting a look at her and see how she goes. This looks like a pretty big push in the market for her, so hopefully she gets a nice run in transit. And then Sandow's Delight in the Last ran extremely well first up, so of the four rides today, I think they should all run well.
Good luck today, Dwayne, and congratulations on a terrific day at the office, particularly aboard an exciting filly yesterday.
Thanks, boys. See you out there on the field.
Race 2, number 3, Merless, for Dwayne Dunn today at Sandown. Race 3, number 13, Bella Luciana. Race 6, number 13, Kentucky Diva. And race 8, number 16, Sandhurst Delight. His rides today, and thinks he can be competitive right through the day. And Dino, I don't know if he'll be able to ride today a filly that was exciting as what we saw yesterday.
No, he won't be. Multaja was fantastic. We both commented pre-race that she looked great, very healthy in the coat, but still very wintry, so a lot of improvement in that regard to come. But, gee, she's just a great talent, I think.
Looking at that race, it was most people thinking it was going to be one of the highlights of the day, Gator, with different form lines, six last start winners and running time in easier races. Causeway Girl from Matoa ran good time relative to the day. Multaja on the fresh side. So to be able to win as dominantly as she did against them speaks well for where she may end up.
No, 100% agree. I think there were five-ish of them who had all run around a second quicker than average home, even a second and a half, one of them. Winner was terrific. Given the draw, ended up getting a beautiful run because she actually ended up on the back of Pippi, who wasn't brilliantly into stride and then really had to be used up mid-race. And I thought that after they'd sort of found their spot, they'd be able to take a sit, but they sustained the run. I think obviously she was a little bit new and keen and ended up wide on the speed, dragged the winner into it. I thought Pippi was every bit as good as the winner, to be honest. And
it's a great style of filly too. Gee, she's a nice filly.
Yeah, I was super impressed. Mm. And she was the clock star in a field of clock stars, you know, going into that race. So they're the two I really like. Fidelia will get further. Belzella was the best on pacer, given it was a run-ons race. They're at 23.7 first 400, so actually slower than You've Been Had. And, you know, pretty handy older horse, we think. Yet quicker than them overall. It's a great sign. Good crop, this.
A lot of negative splits home in that race, Gator, which I know you love.
Yes.
Oh, thanks.
You were pumping Duane trying to figure out where she might fit in. Do you know what do you think she might develop into? Where do you see her stretching out to? I think she relaxes well enough that 1,000 metres certainly won't be her forte. She'll be able to stretch out at least that little bit from there.
Yeah, and just watching her pre-race, seems to have a really good nature about her and relaxed. And what, as Duane said, like, she just cut through that field. And yes, Pippi helped her through the field, no doubt, but she still had the race sense to do it and come back and everything. I would imagine she'd go to the Croisette in a couple of weeks, 1,100, and go from there. But, I think Belzella was a good run. Speaking with Luke Curry after the race, he wanted to sort of come back a bit, but it was just in an awkward spot that he had to see to keep punching on because the horse in front of him was wandering about. So she ran well, and Causeway Girl didn't get a lot of room. And the debutante Tata VM was home really well. She was 11.46, 11.30 home, fifth best last 200 of the meeting for a first starter that looked, to me, looking at her in the yards, quite a rangy, immature sort of filly, but ran very well.
Yeah, you threw me there with the... It's funny where the brain goes, the negative split, and all I could think about was the last Ironman, how much pain I was in. Anyway, Causeway Girl was the one that was a hard luck story. It was held up until the race was gone.
Yep.
And there was... Look, there wasn't a strong market lead, but one of many who was a clock star out of the race. Innes Hill, where the betting probably told the story there. It was a run-ons race. She was on speed, but... jury's out a little bit there.
A little bit fresh in the parade as well. I think
she can be like that, can't she?
She can, but I just thought a day at the races will improve her. But I agree, jury out for her for sure.
Fidelia, Gator touched on Fidelia, Dean, and she was obviously very well supported to win at Cranbourne on debut. Different scenario, wider barrier draw yesterday. What did you make of her?
Yeah, and she was sort of dictated to coming to the home turn by the eventual winner, so it got a little bit messy on straightening, and she came out of it and still ran on, still fourth best last 200 of the meeting. So she ran very well, and she's only on a 9-day backup, but that puts her into the time frame now that she too can go to the Croisette in a couple of weeks' time.
Exciting race, the third race for the three-year-old fillies at Moonee Valley yesterday, and no more impressive performance on the day than Multaja.
Jolie's Cafe and Streets of Avalon, Hard to Kiss dropped away. Lord Tennyson gets to third with Cavaliero, followed by Emoji and Violent Snow. Streets of Avalon takes the lead at the 300 metres. Jock hasn't moved yet. From Jolie's Cafe, Lord Tennyson, Cavaliero, Emoji to the outside from Violent Snow. Streets of Avalon gets its chance with 100 metres to go. Is a length and a half in front, and it's Streets of Avalon. Today is the day. Streets of Avalon won it from Lord Tennyson. Radical up for third. Violent Snow fourth from Cavaliero.
Well, he was benchmark 78, Gator. He'd been running around against some talented three-year-olds looking for Super Bovis money. It seemed to work out pretty well for Zach Spain and Streets of Avalon yesterday.
This was a 70.
70, yeah. 70. I knew Gator correct you there.
My apologies.
So we'll get to 64s on a Saturday soon.
But we've had them.
Yeah, 58s. To be advised.
Don't get me going.
Streets of Avalon was just better than them. Let's not overanalyze it. So I think back to 1,500 was probably a positive. They went to the mile last time in a much better race, and it just had enough late, I thought, on the line. But it was a good recipe yesterday, well handled by young Zach. Lord Tennyson, look, an honest effort.
He probably wants it wetter?
Yeah, probably. And you know, with at that pointy end of class in the race, I mean, obviously, without the winner, he wins, you know what I mean?
Really?
Without, you know, that horse in front of him, he would have won. Radical was sound of the line as well. Violent Snow, Yawn, Cavaliero, Manoan Spirit, Weld, Yawn.
Wake up, Dino. What have we got to say about this race? Radical was, although didn't
you
do much
tipping
work.
Radical, so a good tip.
I had it in my numbers. Yeah, a little bit held up. Probably could have finished a bit closer. And look, I think Jared Robinson's doing a good job with him. We know him through the days, particularly early with Peter Moody. He was going to be better than benchmark 70 grade. So he's the rating system's got him back into a race where he's running well. But at least for connections, they're getting a run for their money now.
Yeah, I don't think he's won since the summer championship of a few years ago. But he's running well and he looks well. He was in good order yesterday. But Streets of Avalon, I really like this ride too. From Zach Spain. He rode him like the best horse, held him together for as long as he could, and the horse actually let down quite nicely. We've touched on that it's a benchmark 70, and a lot of these horses are more akin to, say, Thursdays at the Pakenham Synthetic, but they got their chance yesterday on show, and the Streets of Avalon has been running at Saturday grade, so he was the likely winner, and he executed that.
What did you think of Cavaliero? He was first up at 1,500 metres for Shea Eden.
Yeah, I thought looking at him, he'd just improve a little bit with that run, and we saw him win at Flemington New Year's Day, I think it was. So he's around the mark in this sort of grade, but there won't be a lot of these races in the next 3 months on a Saturday, so it was a real opportunity yesterday.
The suspension for the riders out of the day came for Melissa Julius in this race aboard Violent Snow, and she pleaded guilty to a charge of careless riding that she shifted out when not clear of Sunday Night Tea, who had to check, and that created an incident at about the 400 metre mark. So perhaps then a little bit of a forgive for Sunday Night Tea, but beaten 15 lengths, I think we could say that Sunday Night Tea probably wasn't going to figure in the finish.
No, I'll be very forgiving there. He got checked a couple of times. That was the last one, and I think Ben Allen tapped out after that and clocked off.
And we can be forgiving of margins under those circumstances sometimes, can't we? Because I know the riders have got to ride their horses to the line, but when you're running 12th or 13th or 14th, Sunday Night Tea was well out of contention and some 15 lengths from the winner. So that margin could have been significant.
Well, it became a non-event. He got knocked down a couple of times and it was out of the race.
But as you said, the benchmark 70s are going to fade out a little bit as we get deeper into the spring and the stakes racing really kicks in. And Stayers went around yesterday over 2,500 metres in race 6, and Michael Walker was aboard Pioneer Town, who was ridden positively.
Tiffany's Lass on the outside of Pioneer Town, and they're full bore at the 400. Then Streetcar to Stars, Tiger Tim rallies the inside from Flage and Thundercloud. Up to the turn, it's Pioneer Town and Tiffany's Lass together. Tiffany's Lass just with a margin from Pioneer Town, who won't shirk its task. Tiffany's Lass in the straight is just in front of Pioneer Town, who's kicking back. Tiffany's Lass and Pioneer Town. Pioneer Town, brave, digs in, comes back and wins. Pioneer Town, three quarters, Tiffany's Lass, Tiger Tim fourth.
Well, he went around as a short price favourite in a restricted race going back at synthetic track at racing.com park not that long ago, but he really seems to have found his niche now, and he's hard and fit and ridden positively. He's proving hard to get past.
Yeah, he is. It was a fairly low-pressure affair, and they just gradually built, and Tiffany's Lass rode the speed, Tiger Tim just behind them. They were in the right spots, I think, and it was a good enough performance. Danny Laws has got Tiffany's Lass going really well. She looks terrific. She's just a bit keen yesterday from the awkward draw, but still ran very bravely, and Tiger Tim was probably down closer to the inside, which wasn't the absolute A-plus ground, but ran quite well. Thundercloud spent a lot of the race wanting to bump with Hornet's Nest to stay off the rail.
I'm sure a Hornet's Nest could be annoying any time, because Hornets could do some damage to you. But he was driving Thundercloud mad down the straight the first time.
Well, it wasn't his fault. They were trying to slot in. I would have thought just let it slot in and come back a pair, and it still would have stayed off the rail. You could see what Liam Reardon was trying to do. He didn't want to be pushed down
dictated
the rail.
To, yeah.
And I just think the horse spent far too much energy doing that.
Yeah, I suppose the alternative there is to just say, well, it's early in the race, I can get an economical run by just sliding back one pair closer to the fence and just get into a rhythm and not waste that energy.
And then just go round him at the 700, yeah. So I thought he still ran well, and he's a long way into a preparation, but he's a typical card-carrying DK Ware member. He looks great, and he's bright and running well.
Streetcar to Stars, he's got that that sort of keenness about him. We learning a bit about him because he was second up after 4 years off. What did we learn yesterday?
Yeah, I thought he was just okay. Probably a little bit of a flat run. I mean, he was, it's hard to do that. 4 year break, good run first up, and race a bit keenly. And he probably just did enough for this grade yesterday.
What did you make of the benchmark 78 over 2,500, Gator?
Not much changed in it. First, second, third, fifth were the first four on settling. The exception was Thundercloud, who I thought was trying to build momentum and just missed that run at such a crucial stage. And then he took a while to get going again. I think he ran really well relative to the race shape, which, as I say, was an on-pace sort of little bit of a Grand Prix sort of setup. This horse, Flage, I gave a good hope to at a price yesterday, and he made a long, wide run against the pattern of the race. I thought he battled on really well. He could go back to a midweeker somewhere and win at about $10 for you.
Dean, you've been batting up for Flage in recent times, who hasn't had a lot of luck. What did you make of yesterday?
Yeah, he ran well again. He's going well, and he can. You know, he was coming off a 64 grade race, so he can go back in class, and he's going to win a race, I think, fairly soon. And as Gator said, probably at a nice price.
One from the SMS via Michael from Brisbane. Thanks for tuning in, Michael, and it's relevant to a race that we've just finished on, Dino, but talking about Zach Spain's good ride, if you want to see two good rides, have a look at Alfred Chan's two winners in Adelaide yesterday. They were peerless, so I'll have to go back and have a look at the runs from Adelaide. I do remember getting up on the inside on one and winning, but I'm not familiar with all of Alfred's work yesterday. A little take on Alfred as a young apprentice in South Australia?
I had a little take of his work last Saturday when he ran second on our horse, Warren. He was very patient, but he had a good day yesterday, that's for sure.
So, Gator, benchmark 78 over 2,500 metres. We don't take too much out of it. These are where these horses are at this stage, and they're not going to feature in races in a few weeks' time over these sort of distance.
Ah, see, asterisk. We take a lot out of it relative to the class. I wouldn't take anything out of it as they go up in grade. In saying that, Streetcar to Stars was second up off 70 years or something, so it can probably bounce.
Pioneer Town's going towards the 2,800 on Melbourne Cup Day. Is that ambitious?
Yep.
It's a long way away, too.
It is, but that's where he's going.
But credit to Michael Walker. He basically rode that race, not necessarily in a bubble, but he basically took control of the race, didn't he? And I think at some stage, Tiffany's Laugh might have got a little bit ahead of him in the home straight.
I'd say so.
And he just kept enough in reserve to be able to pull that out. And a good performance, I'm sure. He was brought here to contest better races than the benchmark 78, so he's probably got ahead to that race on Cup Day, Pioneer Town. But he's going well now, consecutive victories. Call Me Handsome hadn't been winning. He needed some luck. He hadn't had much. He had Dwayne Dunn aboard from an inside barrier yesterday.
So it's Mahaney at the 600 metres. The speed has been generous by a length. Master Reset and Jack and Obey two off the lead. Call Me Handsome dug up the inside from another Coldy, and Malay's getting going. Further back, Raw Impulse needs an out from Lord Geranti, and well back as last week, Amavasio and Rhythm to Spare. It's Mahaney up around the turn at the 250. Call Me Handsome's chasing from Master Reset. Set. Raw Impulse is hunting the inside and running on well. Call Me Handsome at the 100 takes the lead, though. Call Me Handsome sprints away from Mahaney and down the outside, Rhythm to Spare. Call Me Handsome holding on, and Call Me Handsome three quarters, Rhythm to Spare. Third a photo, Mahaney or Malaise, and then Lord Geranti.
Well, I'm glad the jockey's issue was resolved during the week, Dino, because it's great to get someone like Dwayne Dunn on to be able to talk about how the track played from someone who's out there doing it at the coalface. And such different style of victories yesterday, with Multaja swooping and Call Me Handsome having that inside draw that Dwayne knew he had to negate at some stage.
Yeah, he did, and he spoke of how Mahaney stayed off the rail, but also Mahaney always leads at a good speed and races his best at the Valley, and just gave enough of a kick that the race opened up nicely, and Call Me Handsome was able to take advantage of that. And he'd been running very well. He was on the back up from last week, and he certainly he did a good job to win. Rhythm to Spare was great closing. It was a huge closing speed late, but he just couldn't quite peg back Call Me Handsome.
What do we make of that performance of Rhythm to Spare? I mean, he's been competitive in better races than this, but he, you know, seems to just need the planets to align. Did the scenario work out well for him to finish off yesterday?
Yeah, must have. Probably ideal speed for him, and got to the outside and ran on well. Whereas another Coldy had come off a really low pressure win at Sandown, and was, I thought the progressive horse probably up in grade, but just a different pressure yesterday, and maybe he's a better big track horse, another Coldy. I'm forgiving of him.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about another Coldy. I think taking a line through a horse like Silence didn't measure up really in against these good horses when they took on that winter championship final. And that might be his level. That's a level off these, but you know, I concede there's room to move, and it was a tight track. Call Me Handsome, he's not a quickened horse at all, but he's got a good will to win, and things panned out where you say out to the mile, well-weighted. They're about 8 lengths quicker than race two over the mile, first 1,000, so they certainly ran along. Rhythm Despair, who boasts 9 wins at the mile, he's no hack, was a terrific run, but he's getting in the twilight, isn't he? Malaise, sound effort, I'm not so sure about some of the others here, to be honest.
Stewards report saying that rider Dean Yendall, who was aboard another Coldie, was of the view that a horse may have come to the end of its preparation, but nothing was revealed with a veterinary examination post-race. Thought he looked really bright and fit, Dino, another Coldie. I couldn't fault him parading pre-race.
Yeah, he's always a horse that really, seems to present well, and he did yesterday. I'd still take a line through his Night's Watch win on Oaks Day last year and say that he's not that far off these horses, and that's not, that's why I'm trying to might be clutching at straws saying he didn't get round the valley, but I think he's better than that.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I guess the next run will tell us, unless he's at the end of prep, but he's only fourth or fifth up. I mean, for Weary, that's like...
trials.
Just starting.
Yeah.
One thing we'll talk about as the year goes on, Dino, is an award that's been initiated via the VRMA, the Victorian Racing Media Association, to reward jockeys for their Saturday and main feature meeting performances and doing a voting. I suppose in AFL circles, virtually every media outlet has a Player of the Year award, and the VRMA has initiated a rider award, not certainly in any way as competition to the Scobies, but just as a different award that we can talk about, and the votes can be published each week, so we're not waiting to the Scobies to see who wins. We can talk about how the votes go on a specific day, and the riders, and kindly due to the sponsorship of Wiley Dalziel, there is a decent prize for the jockeys at the end of the season. So it's something that we've just initiated. It's embryonic, but hopefully it can build a little bit of a profile.
Yeah, and it's appropriate that Wiley Dalziel of Dalziel Racing sponsors it, because it is the Roy Higgins medal, and of course he was in business partnership with the late Roy Higgins, and for the leading apprentice we've also got the Darren Gauchy medal, and there's for the leading rider there's a prize at the end of the season, but for the monthly highest vote getter there's also prizes as well. So look, it's I think it's something that can be followed through the season. The updates will be announced here on RSN 927, and the votes will be published in the Winning Post regularly.
Is there an opportunity for racing media to sit around and give each other awards? I mean, I know the journalists, every 2 weeks, they sort of give themselves... Maybe that's something we could set up too.
Yeah, I think the punters are giving us the awards via the SMS, and they're not that glowing, Gator, so we'll just move on from that and reward the jockeys.
I thought that's what the Moolard medal was, Gator.
Exactly. And also as an adjunct or a feature within that award, Dino, the highest rated apprentice in that category will receive the Darren Gauchy medal. So there's two medals on offer. There's the leading rider, which is the Roy Higgins medal, and the Darren Gauchy medal.
Yep, I showed Gauch the actual medal itself yesterday. He was very chuffed to be considered for that, and it's well deserved, because he is the most outstanding apprentice and biggest star I've seen as an apprentice in my days of racing.
And I can tell you that Dwayne Dunn certainly taken an early lead with his ride aboard Multaja yesterday. Two panellists voting each day, 5 votes up for grabs for the best riding performance of the day, down to 1, so votes on a 5-4-3-2-1 basis, and 10 votes for Dwayne Dunn. So I've got the votes here in an unsealed envelope, and he's got 5 votes from the two panellists who voted yesterday, and we'll talk more about that as the year goes on, but just something small to keep an update on the way the jockeys are performing as they get through the season.
Mr. Clarify takes the lead momentarily, approaching the turn at the 350. Morton's Fork still with a bit to offer, though. Then I Boogie Pacadali giving a slap with the whip. It's Mr. Clarify and Morton's Fork around the turn at the 200. Morton's Fork rallies through to take the lead from Mr. Clarify, then Pacadali. Morton's Fork at the 100. Mr. Clarify won't shirk its task. Morton's Fork about a neck in front of Mr. Clarify, and Morton's Fork punched out by Williams. A half, Mr. Clarify. 2.5, Pacadali for third. For fourth, I Boogie or Master Zephyr.
Reg Fleming, who had a good day at the office for the Godolphin operation under James Cummings, was pretty praiseworthy of the ride of Craig Williams here aboard Morton's Fork Gator following the 8th race. 2040, he'd had that run in the distance range at Flemington, and he seemed to be perfectly handled. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, no, all of that I think is correct. And look, I'm generally a bit of a fan. A horse's second go out to a trip, and he sort of ticked that box. I think the scratching of the good thing of the day... Trap for Fools. Yes. Oh, and then you got to hear mid after it's had the foot abscess, right? And then Jared McLean said it worked like far left during the week, so that's awesome. Anyway, winner was a good, tough effort. Mr. Clarify made a move, 800 from home, joined in with the winner. Then they had a little two-horse war. So there's plenty of merit in the runner-up's effort, but Morton's Fork, a shade too strong, gave me 3.5 kilos as well. Pakadali was sound. Look, every chance, but that 5 weeks between runs and the little setback, I think, probably just hindered him.
And he's not very big. 60 kilos is a challenge for him, I reckon.
Yeah, I think that's a fair call. Look, I'm not necessarily a big fan of the makeup of the horse size-wise. I think different horses have different power-to-weight ratio, but it's probably a factor. And the rest of them... look, Master Zephyr, Kelstorm and Tallship all did enough, didn't they? They're ticking over just nicely. All of them hit the line well enough. I think the stable would have all given those three horses all a tick.
They're all on a bit of a recovery preparation, the OTI horses, aren't they, Dino? Master Zephyr, Kelstorm and Tallship, and they finished basically in a bunch, less than half a length between the three of them.
Yeah, and I think the thought was Master Zephyr was slightly the better chance, and he ultimately was. They all went okay, but I thought Morton's Fork was terrific, and Craig just nursed him around the bend. Mr. Clarify, I think, was trying to make it a real staying test. He took to him early and ran very well.
He was a bit of a wild card into the race, didn't he? And he measured up well.
Yeah, I liked his first up run. I just wondered if he needed one more, but he certainly didn't. He ran really well, and he's going to win a race pretty soon. But it'll be interesting to see where these horses go, because that was a pretty bunch finish, sort of third through to eighth, really.
Spoke to Scott Cameron post-race, and he was hoping for a little bit of sting out of the ground, and obviously iBoogie's eligible to drop back to easier races. I think he was a 77 rater or so going into yesterday, so he could drop back to an easier race, and if he got the sting out of the ground, he seems to be going well enough, particularly if you consider the quality of the horses that finished ahead of him.
Yep, he ran well, and he's as you said, he can get drop back in grade, and... Bold sniper at the back of the field. I hope Liz didn't get up early to watch it. It was a bit disappointing, really.
No, straight back to bed, I think. She was there till the turn out of the straight the first time, and then thought, no, this is not going to pan out well. I'll nod back off here. Morton's Fork, now out to this distance range. He seemed to get everything to go to plan. Dean, is this about his upper end of his distance range, or how do you see him shaping?
I think so. What he's proven, he won the... He won, 1,700 over summer, and he's won again in the off-season. That's what he is. He's a really good off-season handicapper, whether that translates to him being maybe a country cup horse or something like that in the next 8 or 10 weeks, if he keeps going.
And your horse, the horse you have an interest in Grand Dreamer, what was the post-race chat there?
Probably, he needs it softer, we know that, but he's usually effective at Moonee Valley. Ben Allen thought he probably should have stayed in and maybe tried to cut the corner a bit, but when he had to make that decision, the horses in front of him weren't travelling that well, so he peeled out and he ended up quite wide. But, he can't really assess him until he gets on softer ground, if we ever get that.
One from Jim via the SMS, and it's more a general observation, but Moonee Valley form isn't very reliable with regards to Voltage's Win. I'm not sure what Voltage's Win was. A lot of horses aren't suited, just wait and see. So he's a bit circumspect when assessing Moonee Valley form. Dino, in general, do you think you can trust the form at Moonee Valley?
Oh, it's case by case. I'm the same with every track, I think it certainly suits some horses, and... I'm looking forward to Volt. I don't know Voltage.
No.
Is that Multijar in corrective text, maybe?
Yeah, that can be a trap, that corrective test.
It got the jockey's chest yesterday, unfortunately.
yes. We do want to look after the strappers, but we've got to be careful if you're seen with the others.
Yes.
Julius Sandu's done a terrific job with a small team that he's sending around at the moment, and a horse he's got in Princeton Spirit seems to have a good affinity for Moonee Valley.
Nordic Empire approaches the home corner. Fabasta leading by a length. Princeton Spirit, Astro Castro, Queen Annabelle. Highland Beach trying to get involved in the pink from Wise Hero. Then Call It A Day and Lebuin Star. Around the turn, Nordic Empire joined by Queen Annabelle, who gets right up on the inside with Princeton Spirit and Highland Beat. Princeton Spirit, Queen Annabelle together. Lebuin Star back to the inside and Highland Beat. It's going to be a good finish here. Princeton Spirit, Highland Beat. Princeton Spirit kicks. Princeton Spirit just from Highland Beat. Third of photo, Queen Annabelle or Call It A Day. Lebuin Star behind those.
Earlier in the day, Gator, probably in the best horse in the race, we saw Ben Malum aboard. You've been had just sort of not necessarily taking his medicine, but just keeping the momentum rather than restraining to get into an awkward spot. Bit of a similar scenario here for Bo Mertens?
Yeah, exactly that. And I was watching it live thinking exactly that same thing. And look, Highland Beat had his back and had the last crack at him. So no excuse to runner-up. I think it was all honours with the winner. I think Swap the Runs, he wins by more. I think he's a better horse and he gave him weight. Queen Annabelle measured up well through on the inside, not the A ground, especially later in the day. And that form could be frank later today, Sandown. Call it a day. And Tewsby was a nice finale. Forgiving Labuan Star, forgiving Got the Goss, who both made their runs closer to the inside from the back.
How'd you see it, Dean?
Not much to add. I think you can sum up this race that Prince and Spirits won, what, 6 of 9, and Highland Beat's won 4 of 35. I think that's what it came down to, because he couldn't have had a better run, Highland Beat, yeah. And he ran well, but he's just not a regular winner. Queen Annabelle, Rebecca Kelly's got this mare going better than I ever thought she'd go, and she's in career best form, and totally agree about the weird pair, Labuan Star and Got the Goss, probably in the wrong ground.
Tewsby, a horse that he's got a race in him somewhere, and Dwayne Dunn picking up the ride late and giving us some thoughts earlier on. But he was a bit of an eye-catcher late. Was that were they visually flattering sectionals, Dean, or did he get home nicely?
He got home okay. He was the best last 200 of the race. And But 26th best of the day. It wasn't a high rating race by any means, but a nice horse that won it. And I was really fascinated with Dwayne Dunn's insight in that, because he picked it up late. He hadn't done enough homework on it. Just shows what these guys put into it. They just don't go out there and sool them around.
True. And Wise Hero, who's had a little bit of a messy preparation, has pulled up lame in the off hind leg, requires a veterinary clearance prior to racing again. And I think John Price yesterday morning was indicating that the paddock for Wise Hero sooner rather than later also, Dean.
Yeah, I just don't think he's quite come up. He just hasn't hit the mark of last time in. And I just think that whilst yesterday was only the first time he'd missed a place at Moonee Valley, seems to have to drag around the turns at Moonee Valley. I like him at Flemington better.
Terrific day's racing at Moonee Valley, highlighted by the performance of Multaja, perhaps from a class point of view, but from a racing story and a narrative point of view. The win of You've Been Had was terrific, and the best of luck to Ryder Enright as he goes through the battles that are no doubt going to take up a lot of the family's thoughts, and all our thoughts are also with Ryder as he battles.
This podcast is brought to you by rsn.net.au.
Plenty to look at right around Australia yesterday. Dino, how do you sum it up?
Look, I'll just concentrate on 78thville for the run of the day and the horses to follow. I thought Multajar was the run of the day, and I thought that Oberland ran well enough to think he'll win pretty soon.
Gator, how do you see it?
I'm heading north of the border. Avilius, I thought, was the run of the day. He gets the gold up there. What a top return from him. Kemantari, silver. And a soothing gets the bronze from Ramwick.
This podcast was brought to you by rsn.net.au.